Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with Jay.
Welcome, 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 guys, to Live of the Day with Jay.
And Trey.
Guys, we having some technical difficulties, but we're going to get it figured out. We're going to be, we got a lot to talk about today on today's show. We're going to be joined by Councilman Robert Kellogg. He is going to talk a little bit about his announcement that he made a couple of weeks ago, where he is going to be running for mayor in Gastonia at the next election. Can't wait to talk to him to see what exactly his plans are for the Gastonia area. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk a little bit about Black History Month, and we're going to talk a little bit about the idiots. I know it's old news to you, but we definitely need to talk about the idiots out in Memphis, done what they did to the young man, ultimately took his life. We're going to talk about that. Number to call, 515-602-9653. Also, you guys know that I got some things in the works with the gift. I'm going to give you an update on that. Well, we're going to give you an update on that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about what it's going to take to get out this rut that we are in, and just going to talk to you guys on a personal level about some things for today's show. So number to call,
515-602-9653.
Say it again.
That number again is 515-602-9653.
Guys, I promise you it's going to be a great show. We just got a lot of kinks to work out, but it's going to be a great show, you guys. I promise you. Mm-hmm. You are definitely live in the day with Jay
and Trey.
Never falling off, I push on, cause it's urgent and mandatory. It ain't about the fame and the glory,
but the struggle to stay on top takes muscle. Hustle every day, swinging the 9 to 5. My life is paycheck to paycheck, tears and sweat. No time for friends that wanna fake and become foes. I roll solo down the yellow brick road. The sign up ahead states my future's 80 miles away. I'm trying to reach my destination before day. Hey, how you doing? I'm just passing through. While all the while I'm checking my rear view for any sudden moves. Problems, they took them in to try and outbox me. My name is Drake Rock, cause the road's always been rocky. I give the finger to the Grim Reaper. It's not my time to die, so I'm saying bye, bye, bye. Escapism is a miserable.
In the jury of my own circumference, which means I control my destiny effortlessly. You checking for me? I already been there. I'm 5 steps ahead of you. All you see is my residence. I'm telling you, I got the feel for this funk. And they ain't come to see you, cause it's me that they want. So methodically, I step up, speaking the mic, with the pure intentions of shedding some insight. A dim light eventually blows out, but I'm halogen. I'm back to do my thing and run this funk flow mal again. You wanna ride with me, just hop on in. I put it in gear and get the funk up out of here. In the 1500 Dodge Ram, I like to cruise. Turn up the sound, Zone 7 is my music.
Them programmers examine the way they can get them into a thing. And I ain't worried about the next man, I'm in my own lane. My mama taught me a long time ago to just get down and do a thing. I carry the heavy load and dropping off cause it's the funk I'm gonna bring.
Yeah, now I done been up and I been down. I rock Omegas to LES, but my mama named me Christian Brown. I went from bare-ass covers to ballin' out of control. Eating with no rubber and numerous coochie holes. Derived at 22, put in the hospital. 4 biological children plus 1 and 1 possible. Can't break the cycle of my dad, I was going mad. Therapeutic lyrics memorized from the pen and pad. But this is my getaway, still I can go on. But I ain't trying to flip a feature into my song. So I'm back to the money, even though I never left it. Call myself a go-getter, cause I'm always trying to get it. In the booth or in the streets, even on the 9 to 5. No surrender, no retreat, I stay striving to survive. Now this mission is complete and you done seen it come alive. I rock, Dre rock, the mic check, Enterprise.
All right,
all right, behind the scenes working on it. Building my brand for this funky moment. I don't give a damn about what you think or what you say. You try to hinder me, get out the way. I got a lot of work to do and my time is limited. Papa Joe told me you start a job, you finish it. So I'ma be here until it's my time to go. Relentless, consecutively, continuous. I ain't gonna lie to you, chasing my dream, my life's been hectic and strenuous. But I was taught to never give up or self-destruct. Your back's against the wall, get your weight up. With God first, I can do anything. Yeah. With God first, I can do anything.
so it's the funk that I bring.
The programmers examine the way you get down and do my thing. And I ain't worried about the next man, I'm in my own lane. My mama told me a long time ago to just get down and do your thing. I carry the heavy load and drop it off cause it's the folks I'm gonna bring.
What's up, world? You already know who it is. It's the big homie Ambush, a.k.a. the Southern Secret. And you are now live in the day with the brother Jay, blogtalkradio.com, Green Light Inc. It's a go. It's official like a referee with a whistle. Let's get it, man.
You are now listening to Live in the Day with Jay.
Welcome back to the show, guys. Welcome back to Live in the Day with Jay.
And Trey.
We're going to talk a little bit real shortly with Robert Kellogg, momentarily, that is. We're going to talk to him, and he's going to tell us a little bit about his plans for this upcoming election. And I think it's going to be a really interesting interview. I think it's going to be an interview where... I think there's going to be a lot of, that too. I got a lot on my mind today. I got a lot on my mind, guys. I got a lot going on. It's things that I definitely need to address. That I haven't addressed, and I need to get it out in the open, because one thing I cannot stand is people assuming things, people who think they know and they don't know. It's like people who don't like you. I read one of the most profound quotes the other day, and that quote was saying that the way you feel about me is none of my business. None of my business. You can feel how you want to about me, but if as long it's not gonna hurt me, and even if I do know, it still might not hurt me. But it says a lot about your character, when you say that you have pledged loyalty to someone, or whatever the case may be. I don't want to use pledge, but when you have loyalty with someone and you turn around and you do the complete opposite of what you say you're going to do, or how you're going to act with them, you act the complete opposite. But, that's people. And I've learned to accept that. I've learned to accept how people are. I've learned to accept that, everyone's not going to like you, and that's okay, too, because I don't really need everyone to like me. Hell, I don't like everyone. There's people I don't like, so that is, mutual. If it's the same people. But it's just one of those things where you just get so disappointed in people sometimes, and I ultimately want to think the very best of people. I want to think that people are good people, and sometimes, people will tell you one thing and do the complete opposite, or will try to ruin your character. And, there are people out here who will try to ruin your character. What's happening, Ms. D? What's happening, Stephanie? And there's people out here that will try to ruin your character and don't even take the moment to know you. And all you have to do is try to get to know someone. instead of putting out bad vibes about people. You know, people make mistakes all the time. People do things that they regret. People have bad days. People have bad instances. People have bad situations that make them do things out of their character. And sometimes you have to, like, really know the whole complete picture before you can start really judging someone, you know, judging someone. And, you know, I've never been that person. You know, when people are going through things, and, you know, people go through many things. And I've went through a lot of things. And, you know, it's just important on how you can handle it. But, God, when your support system, what that you thought was your support system, when they start breaking down on you, that takes a lot out of you. But as I said before, don't judge me until you get to know me. Try to know me before you get to putting out falsehoods about me or because you don't like something I said or something I've done or whatever the case may be. You go and you start telling everybody else these things about me. You know, get a chance to try to sit down and know who I am. You know, and that's what I strive to do with other people. When I start feeling that I am slipping to that side where I'm angry with someone and I just want to say mean things to them, I have to take a step back. I have to take a step back and realize that it's more important than what's being shown on the surface. And I always say to myself, is that person living their best life or going through something or you know, is that person just having a bad time right now? I take all those things into fact. Yes, Ms. D, you can talk about me. What's happening, Dewey? Boy, you doing your thing, man. I'm proud of you, fam. I'm proud of you. You doing your thing. Keep doing it. What was you saying, baby? Y'all, look at that. Look at this. Look at this. I'm sorry. But, you know, I don't know. I just think if y'all stick around and y'all listen to this interview, I think you're going to find out a lot of things that you didn't know. I think that you're going to be very, very intrigued with some of the things that you think, you know, or that you've heard. Listen, what you talking about? I'm not bothering her. She is fine. Y'all, she be trying to do that and make y'all think.
No, it wasn't him. But don't be saying that, because then people be like, oh, this looks like him. I'm saying that was me. I did say I had lost my train of thought.
Well, I tell you what, I do. I'm not even going to go to commercial for my first guest, because I do want you guys to be able to hear what you think you might know or what you've heard. I don't know. But he's coming on the show today to straighten things out, to talk about things, and for us to find out what plans are in the near future. So without further ado, y'all, I'm going to bring on the show none other than, and he's been on the show before, none other than Robert Kellogg, one of our councilmen here in Gastonia, North Carolina. So, Robert, welcome to the show, man. Are you here?
Hey, I sure am. How are you?
All right, man. I know it was last minute. I appreciate it for coming on the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day outside, so I don't have much to complain about.
Yeah, you're right. It is a beautiful day outside. And I didn't expect to be able to do it like that. So, welcome to the show. You know, I got my wife on here. She don't...
Very good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great.
Yeah. So, I ain't even going to postpone any of this. We're going to get down and start talking, Robert. I know that you made a announcement a few weeks ago about running
for the mayoral seat here in Gastonia. Tell me what, a little bit about what brought that about.
Sure. So you're right. I announced, it's actually probably been about a month ago now, that I was going to run for mayor of Gastonia. So I had been thinking about it for a little while and talked to some close friends and family members and decided that, you know, if it was something that was on my heart and something that I felt that I could do a great job at, especially with getting assistance from the community and moving the city forward, then I needed to let everybody know that rather than keep it to myself. So that's what I did. And I just made an announcement, and we're in the very early stages of getting our campaign together and talking to individuals, going to different events, and I'm just on a listening tour, listening to what people have to say and what's on, you know, what's on their mind, what's what the issues are, the challenges, and the good things,
right?
Because there's a lot of good things happening as well. So, but I'm enjoying it. So that we'll see where it goes from here. But I'm really enjoying getting out there and talking to people.
Now, when you you say you listen to the issues, what are some of the main things that some of the people are bringing to your doorsteps when it comes to gearing up for this campaign?
So I really believe that a lot of the local issues right now that people are concerned about are also some of the things that they're concerned about nationally and on the state level. So, you know, we've had a couple years now of some economic instability. People are a little nervous about what's going to be happening. Inflation, you know, it's anybody who goes to the grocery store, you know that inflation is troubling, especially for senior citizens and people who are on fixed incomes or even for those of us who are working class. I mean, it's really hard to make ends meet right now. Add on top of that, affordable housing, homelessness, challenges with public safety, that's really on a lot of people's minds. And you know, how do we balance all of this growth with all of the challenges we have? So the growth is good. The growth is something that we've all been waiting for and wanting to happen. But now we've got to make sure that we can meet the challenges that come along with that growth. And I think that's where a forward-thinking campaign and forward-thinking individuals in office can lead us through this time of uncertainty, which is really what I think it is. We're kind of at a crossroads. You know, we can go backwards, we can go forward, we can stay still, but whatever we do, we need to make sure that we go forward, because we can't afford to go backwards.
Yeah, going backwards, we're not going to get anywhere. The state of Gastonia right now, do you think Gastonia has been going forward? I mean, there's been a lot of great things happening in Gastonia.
Yeah, I really do think it is. You know, I think sometimes the hardships that a lot of us feel and the things that we see that and the things that we talk about on social media, I think sometimes they eclipse the good things that are happening. But there's a lot of good things as well. So it's really kind of the best of times or the worst of times, depending on your viewpoint. You know, some people are just ecstatic. Things are going great. They're, you know, they're moving forward and they don't have many cares at all. And then others are really struggling. It's like the Charles Dickens novel, A Tale of Two Cities. It just depends on where you're at.
And that's
the job of elected officials, to listen to everybody and try to help everybody have a clear path forward.
Yeah, man, I tell you, you couldn't pay me to be an elected official right now. I just, there's just a lot to take in, and it seems like it can be a bit overwhelming, especially when you're listening to 50 different people saying 50 different things, but want the same thing, you know?
Right. And you and I have talked before about how, you know, how at times it can be difficult. And, you know, it's the job of policymakers and elected officials and people who are public servants to get out into the community and to talk with people, engage with them, educate them. So I think part of the disconnect is really the failure of elected officials to actually be out in the public. You know, if we did a little more of that, had some more town halls, had some more educational events, even went door to door asking people how they're doing and explaining what's happening, I think we could take a lot of that fear and anxiety away, but that's something we need to work on.
Yeah, you'll be amazed at what a simple conversation, hey, how you doing, or is there anything that you would like to talk to me about that you couldn't be able to talk to, that you haven't been able to talk to me about, you'll be amazed how far that would go.
Yep. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It really is. I mean, it seems simple because it really is simple. You know, that's really what we all want, is to be validated and for somebody to hear us. And even if we don't give the answer that somebody wants to hear, it's important.
Yep. You still here?
I am, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm having a little technical difficulties on my end, but I get everything you're saying, and I think that transparency right now has to happen. And I think right now that people are hurting right now, you know.
They are.
I mean, you see the price of eggs. People are hurting. And, you know, it's going unheard of and unspoken, not even challenged. And I don't know how you would challenge it, but, I do. I tell everyone all the time, get out and vote, and vote for those that have the agenda of your community, of what you want. That's where you make some good, informative voting decisions. You know, and I don't think people have made good voting, informative decisions in the last, few elections.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we may even allow other people to make those decisions for us.
Yeah.
I'm a registered independent now. So I switched to unaffiliated, not because I am mad at any particular party or think that anybody is not doing a good job, but I find it easier to relate to everybody in our city when politics doesn't come first. So people should always come before politics. And I think that's part of the challenge we have in our country right now, is that politics and party politics specifically is coming before collaboration and doing what's right for the people. And we do see some successes, but we see a whole lot of missed opportunities.
Okay. So now I know that it's tough, being on the board as it is now, but to state that you're going to run during this election, which is this year, in Gastonia for the mayor seat. How's the weather now?
Yeah, it is kind of uncharted waters for myself and also for the other board members. So I've been very careful to try and let everybody know what I'm doing, to let them know that we have a city to run. So even though I'm going to be campaigning and I'm running for the position of mayor, what we're doing every month in our meetings and in our committee meetings has to keep going forward. So I pledged to them that I wasn't going to bring any campaigning into City Hall. That's off limits, and I don't know who else is going to jump in, but I'm assuming there may be others who jump in the race, and that will I don't know if it will necessarily complicate it, but it will further give us even more things to work out and to just make sure that we act responsibly and do the right thing. But we're all adults, and at the end of the day, we do what's right for the city, and I'm not going to engage in anything that makes any of my colleagues feel uncomfortable. And if any of them jump in the race at a later date, I'm sure they will have the same respect coming my way as well. So
Right. Well, let me ask you a question. How many people does it take let's say for the mayor seat that you're running for, how many people would it take to run for that seat for it to be like a runoff or something like that to narrow it down? How many people would it take?
So that's an excellent question, and I'm glad you asked that. So because it's a municipal race, just like our city council races and mayoral race, anything that's a municipal race is what they call nonpartisan. So if you go into the Board of Elections on Election Day or early voting, you're not going to see party affiliation next to the name. You're just going to see the candidate or the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's unaffiliated, you could have a dozen people if they want to run. There's no primary. It's just whoever wants to put their name in the hat and wants to follow through with that commitment, they can run for that position.
Wow. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Right.
I hope I don't look at that ballot and see, like, 15 people on there. That would be crazy.
Right.
But once you
jump to the county level, then you have that.
Wow, that's interesting. Now I'm gonna switch gears a minute.
Sure.
And you know,
yeah, Robert, I just wanted to talk to you and ask you a question. You know, I'm a teacher.
Sure.
So I was wanting to know, what are you thinking about teacher pay?
And I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Thinking about? Well, I'm sorry. What was that?
Teacher pay.
Oh gosh. Well, first of all, I sure hope that everybody or almost everybody is getting paid what they should be getting paid and at the right time. I know that's been quite the struggle over the past year, and I hope that's pretty much rectified. But if not, you know, that's something that needs to be rectified. But as always, our teachers are underpaid, undervalued, I think, by a lot of folks. And there's a real question right now on multiple levels, on the national level and state level. How do we recruit teachers? How do we keep teachers? How do we reward them and make them feel appreciated? And most of all, how do we pay them what they're worth? Because I don't think they're being paid what they're worth, and I think the evidence of that is the mass exodus of educators from our system.
It's only going to get worse.
It is. You know, I see a lot of similarities with our educators and public safety individuals. You know, I think a lot of them kind of get they're underappreciated and they may not be paid or valued the way that they should be. So I think there's a lot of similarities. And they take on more than one position. You know, they keep getting more and more heaped on them, more and more duties, more and more responsibilities, and we just have to take a look at what we're doing, because I think we're pushing some of these really good folks out of a profession that they really love, but they just can't afford to be in it anymore.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's not really just narrowed down to the people. Our bus drivers, our custodians, they're all hurting.
Yeah.
Our teachers,
right.
They're hurting. They're hurting.
Yep.
It takes all
yep.
of us
to
right.
into school. I just don't think the average person really understands what it takes to be in a classroom, to be in a school setting all day, and to successfully make changes. I don't know. I don't think the average person understands that. Do not go into the school.
Right. Right. And it's certainly not... In most schools, it's not the setting that it was 20, 30 years ago. You know, things have changed. You know, we had to worry about, you know, kids skipping school or maybe somebody swearing or getting in a fight. And now you have to worry about somebody coming in and doing something dangerous or even killing people. I mean, the level of responsibility and even anxiety that people have as educators is just totally, totally different than what it was 20 or 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because I can remember growing up in school, and if somebody pulled out a pocket knife, we thought that joker was bad. We was like, boy, that's
right.
a bad joker there, boy. He got a pocket knife. Now,
right. Right, and everybody would tell on that person, too.
Exactly. You know, whether you'll get stuck with it or not, but but you're right.
Yeah, so there's definitely a lot of work that needs to be done on the county, state, and national level. And although, you know, even on the city level, we don't specifically deal with the school system and other than to partner with them on initiatives and different things like that. But we have a platform, you know, we have a voice. We can share our thoughts and we can advocate and we can be there with educators when they're going through hard times, and we can let people know how we, you know, we advocate for change and decent pay and decent conditions. So that's what I've always tried to do, and that's what I'm going to continue to do.
Now, with your upcoming campaign, have you given any thought to small businesses, giving them more opportunities to make things happen on a grander scale? Because small businesses get looked over a lot, and it's not fair because they are, you know, the heart and soul of the community, you know, mm-hmm. these small businesses. So I just think that sometimes they need to get, sometimes all you need to hear is we're standing behind you, you know, or if you need anything, let us know.
Right.
I haven't heard that lately.
Right, and you're absolutely right. I mean, our small businesses are the backbone of our local economy. You know, they employ, 50 to 100 or a little bit more employees, but you add all of that up, and they end up being the major employers of this city. So we definitely need to make them feel valued. We need to share the resources and the information that's out there. And we just need to go in there and visit them and say, hey, what's going on? How can we help you? Because we can partner with the business association or with the community college or even our own economic development department. We can share resources and we can help them with financial information and business information that they need. So that's definitely something that we can do and that we need to do more of and a better job at.
Yeah, I've never been a big fan of like certain board members. Well, you know how all of you guys are like broken up into different boards. And I haven't been a big fan of that because I just feel like everybody can put their heads together and can take care of the county or the city as a whole. I think
right.
that it would be different types of outcomes, you know what I'm saying? And it's not to shun any of y'all, because
yeah.
I think all of y'all are phenomenal people for even doing what you do. I mean, I do the radio thing and it's pretty thick skin sometimes because I do it with you. And I'll say that again.
Yep.
If my mic fell on that, I deal
right.
with idiots sometimes. And they might think I'm an idiot, too, but it's okay. There's two idiots in a can, you know. But I deal with people who do not value success in the community. And
yeah.
and that irks me. That irks me a lot. And sometimes, you know, one thing I will not do is Facebook wars. I'm not going to do that. That's a challenge.
Right. It is, and it doesn't lead to anything productive. I've learned
no.
that the hard way.
And trust me, I've had people pull me into Facebook wars before, and I just had to sit back and reevaluate and say, you know what, it's not even worth it. I'm not going to be looking like a clown for nobody going back and forth on Facebook when we can sit down and we can talk it out, because that's what we need to be showing our young people, is that we have the ability to sit down, talk things out, work it out, understand that I'm not like you, you're not like me, we're going to have differences, but
yep.
if we can understand those differences and move on to collectively make our community strong, then we're doing something. But if we just sit
yeah,
down
absolutely.
Just look at each other, we're not doing anything but adding to the problem. And I said this before, I say it again, I don't want to be part of the problem, I want to be part of the solution. So whatever
yep.
it takes, we need to come up with some solutions for some of these
problems that are plaguing our community, and, you know, and homelessness is one of them, man.
Yep, it is, and you're right on. You know, I think our community right now is divided in a lot of different ways. And I'm not quite sure how we got there, but, you know, the point is we're here. We're divided, and we need to really work on purposefully and intentionally reaching out to people, engaging one another, making people feel welcome, really practicing what we preach. And that takes coming out of City Hall and actually being a part of the community.
Yeah.
And it takes being honest with people, you know, not sidestepping, not saying things that we may not, you know, that we think somebody might not agree with, but we need to be honest and forthright, bring information to people. People can handle it. You know, we're all adults. They can handle the truth. You know, let's share the truth. Let's work on solutions and, you know, let's stop labeling everybody and putting people on different sides of the camp. You know, those days are over. It does nothing
right.
but bring us heartache
right.
and pain and division, and none of that is good for our community.
Because when we start putting people on those sides, then people start getting offended. Then you have this thing of wanting to clap back at everything that is said. It's too much energy.
Right.
It's too much negative energy. Too
yep.
much negative energy. And I
it
you know, and there was one brother that I missed dearly talking to for a while. He's on here. I'm not gonna call him out. But I did talk to him, and you know, one of the things he told me was, you know, I had to take a break to get closer to God. And I, you know, that made perfect sense. Because once you can disconnect from the world and you can make
mm-hmm.
that connection with God again, then you heal yourself, you get an understanding of yourself through God, and then you're able to go and come back and help the community the way the community needs to be helped.
Right.
And I think we have gotten away from that. We have gotten away from just understanding that we are all human. We are all
mm-hmm.
bound to make mistakes. And
yep.
when are we going to start learning how to forgive one another instead of holding a list of complaints or mistakes over your head? I don't get that.
Right.
I don't get that.
And we don't have to have all the answers either. And we don't have to feel insecure if we don't know all the answers, because that's what a community is for, you know, where somebody else might shine, somebody else might be weak, but that person who is really strong in one area, there's somebody else who has an answer and has a solution. So I really don't understand how we think we can divide and how we think we can not get along and then be prosperous and healthy and move forward. It just, that's not a recipe for moving forward.
Right.
And that's got to change. And I think it changes with an attitude shift.
Yeah.
And that starts with the top and works its way down.
It does. And let me say this to the community. The community has to get a better, a whole lot better understanding of how government, local government works. And
mm-hmm.
I know there's not, there might be some workshops that might need to happen for the community, some free workshops, because I do know that the community, I don't know, man, they think every, okay, we're going to talk about this community in that stuff. They think that everything
right.
happens in the mayor's office. And I don't think they
right.
understand that everything don't happen in the mayor's office. There's a whole board of individuals that make things happen in conjunction with the mayor, but I don't think everybody understands how local government works and how they need to keep their head on a swivel, for one, and how they need to make sure that those hard questions they ask and demand, they are directed to the right people.
Right.
And so in saying that, my question to you is, are you ready to, and of course I know you're ready, you've been doing it for a while, but are you ready to take those obscure directors from people who don't understand how government truly works?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you alluded to it a moment ago, and it's something that I have been doing for several years now. But you're right. You know, there's a lot of misinformation, and some folks don't quite understand how local government works. And as your, you know, as your next mayor, it's not my job to get angry at them. It's not my job to tell them I don't have the answer and to go to somebody else. It's not my job to, you know, push them off. It's my job to first say to them, well, thank you for reaching out. And then it's my job to educate. And sometimes that involves, you know, getting another council member or somebody on staff involved. And once I, you know, share that information with them, then kind of let them go and be, you know, go to the right avenue or the right individual. But there's, you know, there's no room for being territorial or having hurt feelings. That's got to go. And we need to just do what we have to do and work through things together. And, you know, every once in a while you're going to get somebody who may not be the nicest, or they may have a snarky comment. So be it. I've dealt with that all my life, and I can deal with that for another 25, 30, 40 years, however many years the good Lord has me on this earth.
Right.
So the good far outweighs the negative.
Are you seeing
we have a good
lot of
city
that?
Here. So.
Are you seeing a lot of those things that you just think?
A lot of the negativity?
Yes.
You know, I see it more on social media, but when you actually get into the inner workings of being on committees or subcommittees or meeting in groups or talking to people in the community, that snarkiness and negativity that we all see on social media is not what's happening with people who are really serious about working for the people in Gastonia. So I think there's a disconnect. I think sometimes we can think that what's happening on social media is indicative of everybody, and it's really not. It's an echo chamber. But I will say it is sometimes a really good litmus test of some things that we need to take notice of, because a lot of challenges and things that people are talking about, you'll see it on social media first. And that's okay. We can work together. Social media has its pluses.
It does, but it has some negative check marks also. And,
yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people don't use social media like it should be used, you know?
Yep.
And sometimes I just say, damn it, the hell, social media. You know,
it's a necessary evil. I don't think it's going away.
Yeah.
And sometimes you would just like to forget about it, but we can't, because it really has become how some people get their information. And if we're not on there giving accurate information, then who is going to do it? The responsibility is on them as far as who they look at and what they listen to and how they get their information. But we have to provide that authentic, truthful, factual, data-driven information. And if we don't do it, who else will?
Yeah, right. I know one of the comments on here, Ms. Roundtree, she just said, just tell folks to get out of their feelings. And I totally get that. She said, it's not about you. It's about God's business. And she's right. And we forget about that. We forget about that so much. And, you know, while all of the snarky remarks and this, that, and the other is going on, we still got people that are in need of things.
Right. Right. And like you said earlier, we're all human. You know, we all make mistakes. Sometimes we do get into our feelings. But I think most of us who are in positions of leadership, at least I hope most of us and those like yourself who are in the community and trying to do the right thing, most of us, we have to put that aside, and we do. Otherwise, it's a losing battle. So, yeah, you've got to stay positive. You got to give factual information, and you've got to rise above the negativity.
Yes, it's really out there, man. I just hope for the best for Gastonia and in the surrounding community, and I just want to see, you know, the people that need to be put in place to make things happen get there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know, man. There's a strange feeling that come across when you start talking about the future of our great city. And that's not coming, I'm not talking about just, you know, you and me. I'm talking about in barbershops when people are talking.
Right.
It's just a strange temperature. I'll say that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right. I mean, I've sensed that in different places I go and different people I talk to. But I think, you know, I think it's really important to say this. And first, I'm really excited about our future. I mean, I think for the first time in a long time, we have some good things that are moving forward that can help Gastonia to become something other than what it's been portrayed as on social media or in YouTube clips for decades. With that said, we also have to acknowledge the challenges we have and not dismiss individuals who don't feel as hopeful as we, as some others would hope them to be. And that's a balancing act. And we have to understand that, you know, we can have a lot of good things happening and we can promote the good, but we also need to share about the challenges and come up with solutions. And it's not a bad thing to talk about the challenges, because if you don't talk about them, if you don't work on them, then eventually those challenges will grow and they will overtake the good things that are happening. So I'm excited. I'm positive. I think there's a lot of good things happening, but I think we can do both. We can champion the good things, and we can address those challenges that need to be addressed. And I think that's what leadership is all about.
That makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense. Well, you know, as campaigns start heating up, I'll invite you back on the show. I want some of the other individuals that are running, I want them to come on the show. I'd love to see all these guys have and ladies, if there's any ladies that want to throw their name in the hat, I'd like to see you have a little debate.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's what we should do.
Yeah, just to let the community see that, you know, politics works when you need for it to work. You know, it's just not
it does.
Around here to make people, to put class on people's lives. It works. You just have to believe in it, and you have to make sure that what you're doing is part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know, I think we have a responsibility, anybody who's in any kind of leadership role or an elected official, we have a responsibility to help people understand that local government can have solutions and it can work towards answers and it can collaborate with people and we can do some good things, but it's only as good or as strong as the input from the individuals that call this place home. So it's
right.
A partnership. It's a partnership, and it needs to be a partnership that's strengthened and allows for more people to come in and to be a part of it.
That's right. Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on the show. As always, it's enlightening when you talk. I think that there's going to be excitement in Gastonia this year. The municipals are going to be exciting. There's going to be, I think, from what I'm hearing, lots of people, lots of changes. So I'm excited about it.
Is there anything you want to tell?
Me too. Just, you know, just stay engaged. And this is your community, so don't, I feel sad when people live here and feel a sense of powerless, like they don't have any power. And that's, I take that personally, because we should be helping people to be empowered and to feel like they have a voice and to feel like their opinions matter. And if people don't feel that way, we need to take a look at what we're doing and how we're doing it. So I just want people to feel empowered. I mean, your voice matters. Even if something doesn't go the way that you want it to or you expect it to, it doesn't mean that people aren't listening. So keep speaking, keep getting engaged, keep learning, keep being a part of the community, because that's what grows and flourishes, makes our community flourish.
Yeah, and keep, well, not keep, but start bringing your minds to the board meetings, including me.
Yes.
Start getting to the board meetings and start finding out what's going on and voice your opinion. There's a time where you can get a little time to speak, to say anything about what's going on with you or what you want the elected officials to hear or to think about. Get up there and get it said. Get it, you know, it's time for us to stop sitting back and just watching things happen and then complain
right.
about it doesn't go the way that you think that it should have went afterwards. We need to start making sure that we put ourselves in a position to where we can control some of the narrative, you know?
Yep, absolutely. We're all in it together.
Yes, you are absolutely right about that. Absolutely right. And that's what we need to remember. So thank you, Robert. You got anything coming up anytime soon?
I have a fundraiser coming up on Friday the 24th, and I'm doing a listening tour. So I'm out and about in the community, and I've got some other dates that I'll be advertising for areas that we're going into and just getting a group of people together and having a conversation. So everything you know that we do, you can find on Facebook. I have a email, robertjohnkellogg@gmail. Got a website, robertkellogg.com. So we're putting it all out there, and everybody's welcome to attend and be a part.
Okay, that sounds good. Again, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I wish you nothing but the very best.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you both, and keep doing the good work that you're doing.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Guys, if you are just joining us and you just listen to a little bit of that interview, I think you need to go back and listen to it in its entirety because it's some good stuff. And, like I said, I want to bring some of the other candidates that are going to be running with or against, opposing, whatever, however you say it, against Robert and Mayor Reed. I'm going to bring Mayor Reed on get to talk to him and see what his outlook is, what his election is going to look like for that story. I think that there is evident change that has to happen. And you know, anything about who's going to win, because I don't. But what I'm saying is, there has to be change that will fit the needs of what the community is screaming for.
Yeah.
And you know, and that goes in many different categories, from garbage collectors to librarians to whatever. You know, it's all a big pot that we have to continue to stir, not in a bad way, but we got to continue to stir the pot to make sure that we get the right people for our community that's going to be a good.
Thank you.